Hello and welcome to this audio recording of our video sermon from our Church at Home service on the 24th of May. This is part 5 in our series exploring the essential questions about prayer. And in this sermon, we are looking at who should I be praying for? The Bible tells us in James chapter 5, verse 16, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. These last few weeks have been a struggle for all of us in lots of different ways. And I know that my faith has been tested. But this I still believe, now more than ever, that our prayers will change the world. I believe that our prayers are protecting and sustaining our families. I believe that our prayers can heal. I believe that our prayers will bring justice to the poor and food to the hungry. I believe our prayers alter the minds of governments. I believe that our prayers will open the doors of our church again, but also cause us to flourish as a community while we wait. I believe that our prayers will see God's glory consume the terror of this crisis. Over these last few weeks, we have been exploring the essential questions on prayer. But our purpose has not been to inflate our knowledge about prayer, but to ignite our passion for prayer and to equip us to pray effectively. So today we are going to answer the question, who should I pray for? When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he didn't tell them to say, "My Father in heaven," but to say, "Our Father in heaven." Likewise, he didn't tell them to ask for my daily bread, but instead to say, "Give us today our daily bread." You see, on one hand, prayer is this profoundly personal, intimate activity between an individual and God. Yet on the other hand, prayer is deeply communal. Prayer connects us with God, but it also connects us with others and connects people in need with the power of God. So there are two aspects to a healthy prayer life. There is the private prayer life, where we go into our room and close the door and in secret pray to God about our needs and our worries. But then there is also the community prayer life, where we pray with others and for others. Look at what Paul writes to Timothy. "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." To pray for all people sounds like a lot, but I think the point here is that our prayers should not just be limited to the needs of ourselves and for our families, that there is a wide variety of people that we should be praying for. So Paul continues on in that verse in 1 Timothy to say that we should pray for our government and all those in authority. Elsewhere, he tells us that we should be praying for our church leaders and those involved in gospel work. James mentions to pray for the sick and for our church family. And Jesus even tells us to pray for our enemies. I like to think of the categories of people I can pray for like the ripples made by a stone on water. So that smallest circle is going to be my family and my closest friends, because I want to pray for them the most. The next circle is going to be my church family, work, my neighbors, because there might be people that I know that nobody else is going to pray for. Then as those circles get bigger, it includes the wider church, it includes the country, because I want to pray for that regularly too. And the biggest and the final ripple, well, that's how I can pray for the needs of this world. Many people find it useful to make a list that they regularly work through to make sure they pray for all the people they want to. And there'll be a link to a PDF below about a way that you might find helpful to do that. God wants us to pray for other people. One of the things that God has been putting on my heart as I've been preparing this message is to pray for you. So each day this week, I'm going to set aside some time to pray for all the people that are watching these videos. And so if there's anything specific you would like me to pray for, then please do fill out the form at the end of our Church at Home service today, or click on the link in the description below. Because the truth is, our prayers can have a ripple effect through our communities. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which reminds us that God's power is able to do infinitely more than what we ask or even imagine. Now, of course, as we saw last week, that doesn't mean that God answers every prayer with a yes. Sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait, because he's got something even better planned for us. But that doesn't mean that we should pray small, safe prayers. God is a big God. God loves us. God wants the best for this world. So pray big prayers. God has given you a desire in your heart for your family, for our church, for this world. So pray big prayers. Pray for the salvation of your family. Pray for the growth of our church. Pray for the healing of your sick neighbor. Pray for an end to this crisis. Because even the smallest prayer can be used by God to make the biggest difference. So who are you going to pray for? Father God, we thank you that you made Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Help us to look out not only for our own interests, but to take an interest in others too. Give us faith to pray big prayers and the confidence to know that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio sermon from St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Black Rock and Bray. For more Church at Home resources, please visit our website, www.standrewschurchathome.com.